Thanks for joining us today for our Monday broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today we will be continuing our study in Exodus, so let's join Pastor Dave now.
Soon your trials will be over.
Second, he says, I'm the one that brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Why is Israel free? Because God freed them. That's why. There's nothing they can do about their bondage to Egypt at the time. Being under many, many pharaohs, being under slavery, there is nothing they could do about it. They could not save themselves. So God came along and destroyed their gods, raised up Moses, destroyed their armies there at the Red Sea, is the one that told them to slay the lamb at Passover, okay, to which then they could leave Egypt once and for all after those 10 plagues, and then drown Pharaoh's army in the Red Sea to bring them to the place that they're at Mount Sinai right now. God is the one that brought them there. God is the one that redeemed Israel. And because God redeemed Israel, saved them, God acquired a further right to rule over them. They owe him. They own their freedom from slavery of Egypt to God. And thus, they should now worship and serve him. Isaiah 43:1 says, But now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. After all of what God has done for Israel, what does it say if they choose now just to want to do their own thing and not obey him? It shows an ungrateful heart. You receive Jesus and you still want to do what you want to do? What does that say about you? You have an ungrateful heart. You have an ungrateful heart. 1 Peter 1:18, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by the traditions from your father, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's how you were purchased, by the precious blood of Christ. The most precious commodity in the whole universe was given for us. That's how much God loved us. Hence again, 2 Corinthians 5:14-15. Because of what Christ did for us, Paul says, for the love of Christ compels us. Because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. And if we're not doing that, and we've received Christ, then there's only one reason for that. We have an ungrateful heart. So Paul is saying here that Jesus paid the price. We have been redeemed. We've been rescued from death. So because of God's great love for us, sending out his son to die for us, we should have a motivation. It should be love that compels us and motivates him to now live for him. It's why Jesus would say in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do what I say. If you love me, obedience shows gratitude. Now I want you to go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, after the angel Gabriel visits Zacharias and tells him he's going to have a son, and he was supposed to name him John, and that this John is going to be the forerunner to the Messiah. Well, Zacharias didn't quite believe all that and wanted some more evidence that that was going to happen. And so because of that, he was struck mute until the baby was born. And when John was born, Zacharias could speak again. And his first words is this prophecy in verse 67 of Luke chapter 1. It says, Now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies, from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Did you hear that in verse 74? We're here to be delivered from our enemies in order to do what? To serve him. Our purpose in our salvation is to serve God. And this is our purpose, to serve God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The very first four commandments is going to speak about our relationship with God. And then the next six speak about our relationship with other people, okay? Our neighbors here. And so the first things first, as we look at this, our love for God before we can love others. Now, I've said this many times before, but the best way that you can love your spouse is to love God first. Why? God is love, the Bible says. How do you expect to love another person if you're first not tapped into the one where love comes from, which is God? You think that you're doing a great job loving your spouse, and yet you don't love God? You're not. You're not. When you love God, and when you spend time with God, I'm here to tell you something. It opens your eyes to how better love your spouse. This transfers also to kids. I don't know what to do about my son. I don't know what to do about my daughter. Here's the best thing you can do for your son and daughter. Fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ and love God. That's the best thing you can do. Why? Because they're going to see something in you. They're going to see the joy of your salvation. They're going to see grace. They're going to see mercy. They're going to see those things. And you're not going to be perfect. You're just not. The longer you walk with the Lord, the more that you submit to him each and every day, he begins to show you, I want you to work on this. And then you work on that. And you give that over to him. And over time, you're going, man, I'm getting pretty good with this, you know? And then he'll show you something else to do. And you go, what? There's more? Yeah, you ain't all there, you know? And it's going to happen. I don't care how long you've been walking with the Lord. The old self will sometimes just show up. You just go, oh, I hate that guy. Old Dave showed up today. Dang it. You know, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. Guess what? You're forgiven. Boom, just like that. You're forgiven. It happens. The old self shows up from time to time. And until you're with the Lord face to face, you're not going to have total victory over the old self. You will have more victory as you walk in the Spirit. But every now and then, that old self comes back. And I don't like the old Dave. I do not like the old Dave. The old Dave is very negative. The old Dave is angry. Okay? The old Dave is very judging. The old Dave has a very, very sharp tongue. Okay, I kind of like that part of the old Dave. And that's the problem. And that's the problem. There's some things about your old self you kind of like. But God will deal with that. Amen. God will deal with that. All of a sudden, a situation will rise up. Someone will say something, and I'm going, oh, man, I really need to hold my tongue right now. Oh, Father, please help me here. There's so many things I want to say. And the Lord's saying, but will it be uplifting? Will it be edifying to them? No, but it'll be funny. And, you know, and God says, yeah, don't do it. Oh. But Lord, it'll be funny. And don't you think that they would understand what I'm saying? And maybe I should say that so you can then use them to learn to overcome what I said. You know, and so there's part of your old self that you kind of like, and yet God's saying, no, don't do it. Don't do it. And you're going to learn. You're going to learn. Nobody's perfect in this. No, that's why we need to have grace with one another, because God gives us so much grace. And we got to have grace with other people as well. I don't even know how I got there. It's my confession to all of you. But anyway, so let's go to the first commandment here. It says, you shall have no other gods before me. Oh, man. I love jumping into this. So, you know, in the Hebrew, it's Lo Haya Ata Elohim Aherim El Panim Ani. And you're going, Dave, why do you have to say it in the Hebrew? Because there's a couple of Hebrew folks here that I want to know how well I'm doing. And they'll explain it to me afterwards. Thank you. But what I, the reason why I'm saying this in the Hebrew, for one, is because it's different than how we see it in the English. This literally says in the Hebrew, no. It begins with no. Lo. It literally says, no shall have you other gods before me. I find that absolutely fascinating. Let me tell you how you're going to love me. No. It's the first thing that comes out. God says, no, shall have you other gods before me. Wow, interesting. The word you here, ata, means to you or towards you. It's in the second person singular, meaning that as God spoke this to all the children of Israel there at Mount Sinai, he was not speaking to them collectively. He was speaking to them as individuals. You. No. You. But he first starts off with no. No shall have you other gods before me. Now, before me, it's al panim ani. And so that word before means before his face. Yet that word before is in the plural. Before faces. And yet, me, ani, is in the singular. God, singular, God, has a plurality of faces. I would submit to you that's a hint of the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Before us, but me, singular. That's nuts. God is so amazing. And before me means in front of me, in my presence. Well, since God is everywhere, it means no false worship anywhere, anytime. It does not mean that God needs to be first in the way of priority. This does not imply that it's permissible to have other gods as long as they line up behind the true God. Instead, the idea is that there are to be no other gods before, I don't even want to see it, in the sight of the one true God. I don't want it before me, literally in my face or faces, because we all see it, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Wow. God demands more than to be just be added to our lives. We don't just add Jesus to the life we already have. We must give him our whole life. I submit my whole life to you. I surrender everything to you, and yet I don't. That's just part of that sanctification. It's a process. You just can't give it all. I was speaking to someone last night, and kind of her first time here, and she goes, I have so much that I'm not doing right. I said, don't worry about that. You just come. And God will show you over time, you know, I want you to work on this. You know, and just do that. There's so many things I need to work on. I got that. That's everybody here, I said. And I said, come walk with us as we are doing the same thing you are. We're not perfect yet. We're not perfect yet. And so the point is, when it comes to God, when it comes to receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, it's all. He wants all of you. He wants all of you. I have a friend that through cancer lost his eye, okay? And he has such a great attitude. He has a glass eye now and things like that. And he said, Dave, I knew that God wanted all of me. I just didn't know he would take it piece by piece. All right. I kind of like your attitude about this. That's pretty funny, actually. And so the rule number one here, again, what does other scripture reveal about this? Well, I believe that It says in Exodus 20, verse 2, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Deuteronomy 6, 14, you shall not go after other gods, the gods of the people who are around you. Jeremiah 25, 6, do not go after other gods to serve them and worship them, and do not provoke me to anger with the works of your hand. I will not harm you. Now, and there's many more, believe me, you know, that you're to worship Yahweh Elohim and him only and things like this. When we read this, what else is being spoken of here? You are to be monotheistic. You are to worship only one God. Remember where they came from Egypt. God removed them from polytheism. The Egyptians worshipped many, many gods, a multiplicity of gods. As a matter of fact, no other nation practiced monotheism. There wasn't just one god they believed in. Every nation believed in a multiplicity of gods. Remember where he came from? Egypt, where they worshipped over 2,000 gods. I am establishing a nation. I am establishing a relationship with you. And guess what? I am Yahweh Elohim. I am the God of the Elohim. I am the self-exist. I am the one that created the rest of the Elohim. I am the Elohim you are going to worship, and my name is Yahweh. And so when God brings Israel to the mountain there and begins to explain all this to them and give them the Ten Commandments, he's saying, you're not going to be like the other nations. And I'm holding every single one of you accountable. The singular, it's you. No, you shall not have. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 6. How does Jesus interpret this? Matthew chapter 6. It's one of my favorite areas of scripture. Starting here, verse 19, it says, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What is it that Jesus is saying here? He's saying, you know what other gods that you can have before you now? Materialism. Materialism. You're building up treasures here on earth when you should be thinking about building up treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy. How often are we distracted with something materialistic here on earth and it's a god and it is being brought before him and he sees it? He sees it. Says in verse 22, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. So whatever you focus on is going to affect your body, okay? But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Meaning you think you are focused on the right thing, but you're not. And guess what? Then you're really in a dark place, okay? So he goes on and he says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one, love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And so the Greek word for mammon here, sometimes is translated money. That's really a poor interpretation of it. It really speaks of materialism. It really speaks of personal wealth that is attained because you're greedy, okay? And so now that has become your god. Because you're greedy, you want more wealth. You want more. And so you're very, very materialistic. And so he goes on to talk about that. And he says here in verse 25, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? He goes on, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are they not more value? Are you not of more value than they? If you can see how God takes care of the natural world and understand the natural world is not as valuable to God as you are. And if he can take care of the natural world, can't he take care of you? He can. The question is, are you going to trust him? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Oh man, how many people here just love to worry? Oh, it's so much fun to worry. Oh man, I hope I get up tomorrow and I get to worry. Man, that would be awesome. It's stressful. I remember earlier in my life, I was like 25, 26. I was starting off my job, and my job was commission only kind of a thing, and I was stressed out, worried about everything. And I went to a psychologist because I was having some physical issues, and my doctor says it's nothing physical per se, it's mental. You need to go see someone. So I did. And he gave me these relaxing tapes to listen to at night before I go to sleep, and you know, rain and waterfalls and all this kind of stuff to kind of calm me down and everything. And I just remember meeting with him. He just told me, just so you know, stress can kill you. And I'm going, dude, that's the most stressful thing I could hear right now. Why would you tell me that? But then I had fallen away a bit, and so I came back to Christ. And over time, I'm going, either I'm going to trust the Lord, or I'm going to trust the world says of how to combat this. I'm going to choose to trust the Lord. And so I did. And ever since then, yeah, I'm always being challenged by worry and stress and everything else. And I know what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to pray, put it in God's hands, and trust him. And trust him. And so he goes on and he says, why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God clothes the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. That became my life's verse. I'm going to seek the kingdom of God. What do you do about that? I'm going to seek the kingdom of God. I'm going to seek his righteousness. You know, that's what I'm going to do. And then this will be taken care of. He'll tell me what to do, and I'll do that. But other than that, I'm going to give it over to the Lord. Seek ye first kingdom of God, then all these things will be added unto you. What are all those things? All the things that you need. All the things that he will take care of you. And he will take care. And what does that require? Trust. Do you trust in the riches of the world? Do you trust in that materialism to bring you happiness and satisfaction? Because it never will. Or do you trust the Lord? It's one of the reasons in Psalm 5:11 it says, but let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. Psalm 40, verse 4. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. If you're trusting in something else to save you, you have another God before you. If you're looking at something else to satisfy you, to bring you joy, to give you purpose and meaning in this life, then you have another God before God, Yahweh Elohim, the one true God. And we're violating the first commandment. If I put my joy, this will really make me joyful. This will really bring me satisfaction. And you put anything in there other than the Lord Jesus Christ and other than God himself, guess what? You have another God. You have another God before him. And I think that we could all probably think of something that we have a tendency to gravitate towards because it brings us great joy. And you have to look at it and say, is that really something God wants you to have in your life? You know, has it taken way too much of an occupation to where you have to give that over to God and say, Lord, forgive me. I believe this has become another God in my life. God will show you. Let's pray.
Well, that wraps up this Monday edition of Abiding in the Word with Pastor Dave Love. Be sure to join us tomorrow as we dive deeper into our study in the book of Exodus. If you're in Castle Rock or the surrounding area, we'd love to have you visit. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. Our weekend services are Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 8:30 a.m. as well as 11 a.m. High schoolers will meet during the 8:30 service and junior high students during the 11 a.m. service. childcare is available during all our weekend services. We also have a midweek study on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. At the same time, our kids' ministry runs Awana. And for young adults, our Arise ministry meets every Friday night at 6:30, right here at the church. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. We appreciate you spending time with us today. Until our next time together, we encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.